add to the other members and call the question. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to the House Finance Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
18 yeas, 22 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 1. Clerk have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348 Finance by the Finance Committee. An act making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Winty?
Brief point, Mr. Speaker. I think it's interesting to note, and that's really one reason I think we should have better exposure here. We spent, well over an hour on the question of expending $350,000. And just prior to that, spent what I consider a very brief period of time spending $106 million of the people's money of this state without the... The direct review that I think a lot of that should have. Another point made in terms of the appropriation process was, well, they're spending it, we're supposed to ignore it. That's not the responsibility and oath of office we took in regards to the appropriation and use of state funds, and I would hope that the distinguished member of the Finance Committee, although he's been on there a relatively short time, that in exercising the responsibilities of the state and the Finance Committee, he would dispense with that attitude in terms of carrying out the responsibility of appropriating the state's money.
Representative Bussell?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease, Vermont. Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce to the body a good friend of many people on this floor and also a constituent of mine in Gallery B, Mayor Bill Allen.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, there is a very charming young lady who is one of my constituents, which gives me a great pleasure to introduce to you Liz Gilbert.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to also say that Mrs. Gilbert is also one of my constituents. But I'm here to recognize another gentleman who is a very well-respected educator in the state of Alaska. He currently serves as principal of the Career Center in Anchorage, Mr. Bob Peck.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we just walked in the door, the president of the Kuskokwim Corporation, which is based in Anchorage and Aniak. The Middle Kuskokwim, he's also a board member of Jalissa Corporation, Glenn Frederick.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been a person that's been in attendance here today in Gallery B from Delta Junction, Dave Johnson.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and sitting next to Glenn Fredericks is friend of mine from Red Devil, Mrs. Vanderpool.
We have before us the House Finance Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348 in third reading. Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Finance Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Furness?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, from nay to yay, I guess.
Furness from nay to yay. Clerk, may take the roll.
27 yeas, 13 nays.
House Finance Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348 Finance be considered the roll call vote on effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Lindar.
Mr. Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration for my vote on the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348.
Representative Lindar has given notice of reconsideration for his vote on the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348. Clerk, please read the next bill on today's calendar.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the regulation of private schools. The Committee on Hess has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354, Hess, with the same title, and reports it back as follows. The report was signed by Ms. Tischer, Chairman, signing Dupass, Euling, M.W. Miller, Martin, and Tischer. Signing past the Senate version, Gall, Kopanen, and Davis. The Committee on Rules has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354 Rules with the same title and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Phillips, Liska, Tischer, Fuller, and M.M. Miller. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Rules Committee Substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Clerk, have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Kopanen. It starts page 2, line 24. Delete that received direct state or federal funding. And it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Kopanen.
Thank you. The current wording says that received direct state or federal funding. There are, of course, subsidies that are available, such as lunch programs, daycare assistance monies, which go to the parents, and not directly to the school, but indirectly, and which raise the possible question of dual funding of church-funded school, and may raise legal questions. Therefore, I should like to delete direct state or federal funding and add a facility which receives state or federal payments or subsidies is not eligible for exemption provided by this section. This is not intended to require the oversight of church schools, or religious schools, or private schools in general, but to merely clarify the question.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I speak in opposition to the amendment. There is a very good reason why one should state direct federal funding or state funding. And in our hearing process for this bill, as well as last year's bill that is similar to this, is brought out that that is one definition that is very clear to those observers and readers of this piece of legislation. For anyone's consideration on subsidies, there has been a good number of questions raised throughout the country about what is a subsidy and what is not, even to the extent of a challenge for nonprofits establishing themselves with the IRS for nonprofits as being a type of subsidy. So it's very important, Mr. Speaker, that direct state or federal funding is mentioned in this bill to clarify that standpoint. As far as subsidies or indirect support, that is an issue that was also addressed and in no way determines the support of the operation of a school. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do speak against the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Clarkson?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm not quite clear about what direct state or federal funding is. If the amendment, maybe I could direct this to the chair of the HES committee, if the amendment were adopted, what would be the difference? What would be the difference? What funding is there that might be considered covered by the bill but not covered by the amendment? Should I rephrase the question? Or? Well, I'm trying to figure out what difference, what impact the amendment would have.
Representative Furnish?
Mr. Speaker, while the sponsor of the bill is collecting their thoughts, and let me share something. As I recall, the gentleman from Fairbanks, in support of his comments in support of the amendment, he mentioned acre assistance and some other subsidies that are currently provided. In speaking against his amendment, it appears here unreasonable to include other subsidies. For example, the daycare assistance, and that all persons receive daycare assistance, and that the taxpayers' dollars pay for that, and that does not go into a direct support of the educational program. We're talking about taxpayers, and we're talking about a separation of church and state. Now, his amendment, by taking this out, does not serve the purpose. One of the chief concerns of this piece of legislation is that to assure that no direct state dollars for education go into the private schools. Well, by putting this in the bill, and there have been persons on this floor who have fought for this, that to assure that no state or federal dollars go into the private sector, particularly the private educational sector, this language has been placed in the bill and was placed in there specifically for that. And to have someone now try and take that out of there is simply a delaying tactic in passing this bill that has had good public support, has been debated time and time again on this floor. Speaker, I do have the floor.
State your point, Representative Clarkson.
He questioned the motives of the sponsor of the amendment.
Representative Furnish, questioning the motives of a member is out of order. If you will refrain from doing so.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Please continue.
I would again reiterate to disallow persons who send their students to private schools from partaking of daycare assistance or other programs provided by state or federal sources would not serve the purposes what we're trying to address in this particular bill.
Representative Tischer.
Mr. Speaker, in response to my colleague from downtown Anchorage, the answer to his question on what's the difference, it really waters down the interpretation of direct federal or state funding.
Representative Davis?
Yeah, just to clarify a previous comment, there's nothing in this bill about daycare assistance. This is about private schools. I don't think that would be a relevant argument.
Representative Gall?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the facts are being not misinterpreted, but maybe misconstrued. This paragraph and this section of the bill, and for that matter, 90% of the bill, has absolutely nothing to do with religious schools. What has to do with religious schools is the lobbying effort and not the substance of the legislation, for the most part. In this specific example, we have a case in point. We're talking about, we're talking about pre-elementary schools. We're not talking about religious schools. We're not talking about daycare centers. But unfortunately, one has to take note of page 3, lines 20 through 23, where we define pre-elementary schools, and that is a school for children ages 3 through 5 if the school's primary function is educational. And, of course, I would contend that a school's primary function is educational if the person running the school says it is. Because if I run a school and I want to teach people how to walk straight, well, it's pretty educational to me. And if the child is an infant and can't walk, and I'm teaching that child to walk, I guess I'm in an educational program here. I could dream up a dozen examples to stretch the issue, but the point is that the definition is very weak. Then we have in the amendment under question or under debate that if a pre-elementary school is receiving direct state or federal funding, that the department can, that is the Department of Education, can exercise general supervision. Well, that seems pretty straightforward. Nonetheless, if indirect funding is obtained through a program which benefits parents, whether or not that program is today in effect or isn't, although I would contend that the daycare assistance program would be an example, then that school is no longer subject to the general supervision of the department. So I think what the representative who made the amendment is trying to do is not to cloud the issue or delay. And once again, I would say, wouldn't it be nice instead of, well, the point of order was raised, but it seems that everybody today can't begin a debate without calling attention to some member's motives in some method, in some way. At any rate, it seems what the intent of the amendment is not to delay or cloud the issue or anything else of that sort, but in fact to tighten up the law, to say, if you are a pre-elementary school and you are benefiting from public funds, that the public has a right to know what you're doing. It's as simple as that. It takes out the word direct, because direct is in there as a trick. It's in there so that if there's indirect funding, it just doesn't count. And my suggestion would be that any funding that comes from the people carries with it a certain burden of responsibility on the part of the recipient to be able to publicly disclose the activities of that institution. Therefore, I would support this amendment.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, if I understand the answer to my question from the member immediately behind me, and I will stand corrected from the chair of the Hess Committee if this is not the correct conclusion, that absent amendment, if there is no amendment to this section, it is possible that a pre-elementary school here could be filled with children who receive daycare assistance, and that is the primary funding of the program. And that's why I asked what the effect of the amendment was. I think that's what I heard him say, that daycare assistance is one of the reasons you want to say direct and not indirect. And if that's true, that's millions of dollars, Mr. Speaker. I don't happen to have the figure, but it's like $10 million or so of state funds goes into the daycare assistance program, which would, if I'm correct and this amendment is not adopted, be directed for the benefit of programs that have absolutely no supervision by the state of Alaska. Millions of dollars of state money. So let me ask the chair of the Hess Committee again, am I correct in the conclusion that the effect of not adopting this amendment would be that daycare assistance to parents who put their kids in that center and pay money from that goes from the state through the parent into the center, in fact, that could happen without this amendment?
President Tischer?
Mr. Speaker, the answer is no. I wish to bring to the attention of the body that the section that we're dealing with under this proposed amendment, which I oppose, begins by saying, duties of the department. The department shall, and it lists 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we get down to 8. The department shall exercise general supervision over pre-elementary schools. Going back to page 1, the department shall, under number 1, exercise general supervision over public schools of the state except the University of Alaska. So let's get that clear in our minds first, that what this section 8, where the amendment is proposed to be made, states that the department shall have and shall exercise general supervision over pre-elementary schools. There are several different kinds of pre-elementary schools in existence in this state today. There are some pre-elementary schools under the public school system. There are some pre-elementary schools under the private school system, and there are some pre-elementary schools under the religious school system. Under no circumstances does the law provide that any funding for education be given through tax dollars or through state or federal to private or religious school institutions or facilities, that only public school facilities can receive those kind of funds. And this clearly identifies that the pre-elementary schools mentioned in Section 8 that are under the general supervision of the department, that, that the department can exercise general supervision over pre-elementary schools that receive direct state or federal funding. If they do not, the state's interest are diminished considerably. Once the state does not have to or is not funding anything, their interests are diminished, and that's exactly what this is supposed to be saying. The amendment states instead that a facility which receives state or federal payments or subsidies is not eligible for the exemption provided by this section is clouding the issue, if I may, Mr. Speaker, and that the word subsidies in that particular proposed amendment is identified, is not identified clearly enough throughout the United States, and challenges have already started on what the definition of subsidies are. There is no clear definition of what subsidies mean in the proposed amendment, nor in the context of the remainder of this piece of legislation. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I speak again against the amendment.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe the answer to the question is yes, and I'd like to call a very brief at ease, and I think I can find that answer out.
The House, please stand at ease. Representative Barnes. The motion to excuse Representative Abood for the remainder of today so that Representative Abood can catch a plane to Anchorage. Hearing none, Representative Abood is excused. This time I'm going to place a call of the House on Senate Bill 354. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to inform the body that I did some checking, and the answer to the representative from downtown Anchorage is yes.
Representative Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's been said before that if you don't ask a question, if you fail to answer a question, you are a fool for a lifetime. If you ask a question, you're a fool just for a few minutes. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask for a clarification on the second part of this proposed amendment, line 5, number 24, line 24. It seems to me that we're into a different section, not talking about the pre-elementary students, but we're talking about general private schools. And I'm concerned if our major schools that do directly and indirectly that are private of higher education may be severely impacted by this amendment. Sheldon Jackson receives an awful lot of money directly and indirectly. APU does. A lot of our business do through our post-secondary programs. And I feel that this may be broadening out too much from what the intended section was. So in question to a representative from downtown Anchorage, I feel it had a big impact and that maybe all these institutions receiving state and federal, whether it be grants or whatever, may be seriously impacted here.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, since several minutes has passed since I asked the question and we got the short answer yes, let me make sure I understand what's going on here. If the amendment is not adopted, as I understand it, if the amendment is not adopted, it is possible for a pre-elementary school to be unregulated by the state and yet receive all or a portion of its funding through the daycare assistance program. That's the answer I think we've heard to the question. I would be very concerned with that, Mr. Speaker. I have heard repeatedly with regard to this bill that the principle involved is that if there is no government funding, there should be no government regulation. And that's not a bad argument. But, Mr. Speaker, what we have here is government funding and no government regulation. And I think that's a mistake. There are millions of dollars in the daycare assistance program that will be funneled toward these preschools that used to call themselves daycare centers if this amendment is not adopted. And you will not be going along with the principle of where there is no government subsidy, there is no government regulation.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there's an attempt here to somewhat confuse the issue. The gentleman from Fairbanks, in justifying his amendment, used the term daycare assistant as one of his
I'm sorry to delay this, but for the second time this afternoon, we've had aspersions cast on the makers of motions and statements on this floor by this same gentleman. And if we were so inclined, we might be inclined to make the same sort of suppositions ourselves, but we'll refrain from that. But I wish we would commend the gentleman, sir, to refrain from giving motives either on either side of the aisle to the makers of legitimate motions.
I would caution the members, Representative Furness, to refrain from questioning the motives of other members of this body. Representative Furness, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I certainly do apologize if I've offended anyone. That certainly has not been my intention. All I wanted to do was somewhat clear up what I understand to be somewhat of a misunderstanding. If I may continue, the gentleman from Fairbanks did, in his support for the amendment, mention daycare assistant and some other programs as subsidies. It is not my intention to draw into an argument concerning daycare assistant, but to simply share with this body that oftentimes when we speak of direct aid to education, we're talking about monies that are directly appropriated for educational means. If someone can support here where daycare assistant dollars are specifically earmarked for education of students, then that's another thing. But no one has supported that to this point, Mr. Speaker. Daycare assistant dollars, first of all, are public dollars that are allocated to assist parents, I guess as a subsidy for work. A person who cannot afford $500 a month to put a child in a daycare facility has an avenue of assistance. And the often explanation is used if a mother, for example, wishes to work as opposed to be on the public dole to welfare, she can apply to daycare assistant, therefore become a productive person and add back to the tax roll. Now, to confuse daycare assistant as educational, as direct educational support dollars, I would contend is a misrepresentation of the facts. Now, if that offends the gentleman from Juneau, Mr. Speaker, I will apologize. Thank you.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent of the amendment is to tighten the definition. Deletes one thing and adds a tighter definition. A facility which receives state or federal payments or subsidies is not eligible for the exemption, that is the exemption to regulation. I think, in my feeling, that this is rather short, sharp, and direct, and a lot clearer than the existing wording, and that is why I offered it. I have, in the past, been on the board of the school run by my church. I have also been in the business of operating, managing preschool programs. I have also assisted programs throughout the state from Point Hope to Ketchikan. And when these small, often struggling programs attempt to draw up a budget, they look for budget dollars and support from wherever. And there is the school lunch program. There is transportation that can sometimes be arranged. There are low-interest loans. And there are the dollars that parents pay either for tuition or for, you might say, babysitting. Or all of that goes into the budget of the organization. I tried to make certain that any time I worked with such a group that they met the requirements and the standards and the regulations which are meant for the best interest of the children who are affected by those programs. Therefore, I never saw a dichotomy between such a program, advising such a program to accept state money, because the quid pro quo was they would then live up to the conditions that the state set by regulation. In this case, we are talking about their possibly accepting indirect subsidies of one sort or another, but being exempt from the other half of the bargain. In other words, getting out from under the regulations also. So I don't think that is morally, ethically, or for that matter, legally permissible, and may open these schools up to suits because they may blunder into accepting funds that someone may object to because of the wording of the statute, and then find themselves in a lawsuit. I think it is necessary to tighten the language. I may not have done the best job in the world. I seem to see that some members have difficulty reading it, but I offer it in all good spirit. Thank you.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the last phrase, in all good spirits, is certainly the right one here. There's no attempt to confuse the issue. It's just a matter of tightening up the legislation once again. The point is that a daycare center that calls itself a daycare center is under the direct supervision of the Department of Health and Social Services. I believe the phrase actually is nurseries, as defined in AS 4738080. If a nursery maintains that it is a pre-elementary school, there are no criteria to contradict that nursery. I mean, if any nursery wants to call itself a pre-elementary school, it can do so, and it can claim to be educational in nature, and can defend that, I would think, by having building blocks with letters on them. It's almost an impossible argument to pin down, I think. There has been an effort made over a period of almost 2 years now on this particular piece of legislation to allow the state to maintain basic supervision over facilities where one's children may be kept during the day if that facility is operated for profit, and if those facilities have a certain number of children and so forth, in order to protect, you know, a citizen from putting his or her child in an institution that may not be sufficient to the needs of that child's health and safety. And I'm sure we'll get into the health and safety regulation as time goes on in this debate. But this particular amendment is just trying to scratch the surface of this problem. It's just trying to say, okay, if you want to fight regulation in nurseries, or you want to fight regulation in pre-elementary schools, or you want to pretend that religion has something to do with it, that's all well and good. But if they're getting public funds, at least make them answerable to the public. That's all this amendment is trying to do, to say that the use of the word direct state or federal funding implies that this is a state-funded institution. It does not account for the myriad of other ways whereby these kinds of institutions do obtain public funds. So this is just the weakest of all possible attempts to tighten up the language. It's not saying that every pre-elementary school will be supervised. It's merely saying if they benefit from public funds, they'll be supervised. It seems perfectly clear. It doesn't seem as if it would hurt anybody. It seems clear to me that it was offered in good faith, and I continue to support the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
The maker of the amendment
says this, and of course everybody can read it, but I'll read it out loud. A facility which receives state or federal payments or subsidies is not eligible for the exemption. Now, absent that language, it seems to me the opposite is true. A facility which receives state or federal payments or subsidies is eligible for the exemption. Absent the language that's presented in this amendment, the opposite, I think, is the case. And I don't think that's the policy that we want to establish here. I'm for this bill. I'm going to vote for this bill. But I want the bill to be just as right as we can make it. And I don't want the bill to say a facility which receives state or federal payments or subsidies is eligible, you know, for the exemption.
Are you ready for the question? Call has been satisfied. Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to the House Rules Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
16 yeas, 23 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 1. Will the clerk please read the next amendment? Representative Clarkson? Will the House please stand at ease?
Elementary school are more likely to be bona fide educational facilities rather than daycare centers which attempt to escape regulation by calling themselves preschools. There are some bona fide educational preschools which do operate independently of elementary schools. This amendment would not prohibit them from doing so, but would place them under Health and Social Services regulation for the health and safety regulations for young children. We've been told that lacking this, there are some safeguards that at least even though the Department of Education, the Department of Health and Social Services would do no regulating, that at least the fire marshal would check in. Well, currently, there are seven inspectors in the state. I looked up the budget unit today. They do about 950 inspections per year. Their priority is high-risk installations. They count 1,300 high-risk installations. They don't get around to all of them. These are institutional, assembly, educational, preschool, children's, and high-rise residential. The existing regulations in the fire department call for a ratio of 1 to 10 to 3 to 5-year-olds. This is not enforced because the fire marshals do not have sufficient manpower. Some of the ratios that they found have been in private preschools, non-religious incidentally, in Anchorage are 35 students to 2 adults, 80 students to 4 adults, 48 students to 2 adults. These are from the report that we've had. In Fairbanks, from one school, we have a report of 40 3 and 4-year-olds to 1 adult. Now remember, young children are not organized in the same way as we are. What happens in a facility, and some of these are in our basement facilities, if there is a fire or a fire alarm? Is one adult capable of leading out 20 or 30 3- and 4-year-olds safely? I ask yourself that question. I don't think so. And I think, therefore, we have to have the kind of supervision which Health and Social Services had and done in the past. They have enforced the student-to-teacher ratio in these facilities because of the licensure. The fire marshals have not done so because they see it as outside their sphere of expertise. And although I might, both as a volunteer fireman and as a person interested in preschool, feel that I might be able to make that judgment, I know that most of my fellow firefighters in the department would hesitate to make that kind of distinction because their other fields of expertise are something else. And the same thing is even more true of the fire marshals, whose expertise is in detection of fire danger, in detective work associated with arson, in looking at buildings from the viewpoint of what is known as pre-firing the buildings. In other words, looking at a building and investigating it and deciding how you are going to fight that fire when the fire breaks out. It's very often too late when a fire breaks out in a building full of young children. I've seen disasters of this nature in New England, where I lived before. And what the result then was laws that came in that were draconian, that were entirely too strict, too rigidly drawn to allow any flexibility at all. By failing to look at the question now, by attempting to free everybody from regulation, I think that we are setting ourselves up for the possibility of disaster in the future, and then an overreaction and overregulation in statute, not in regulation, of the school programs that we are trying at this point to find a middle ground between overregulation and total anarchy. I move the amendment.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I speak against the amendment, and I'm going to try to, through my notes, try to cover some of the ground that the previous speaker has covered, if I can recall them all. First of all, the amendment itself reads, "In public and private pre-elementary schools that are not in facilities associated with an elementary school that operates grades 1 through 3. This amendment, as the previous speaker noted, was on the other body's bill. And I have been advised by the some of the members of that body that there was a misunderstanding about the interpretation of what this exactly meant until after it was too late. So one of the reasons why it is not contained in the document that you have before you is precisely for that reason, and let me explain to the body here why. It is a pretty well accepted and known fact that where there are no elementary educational facilities, and where, meaning in large and small areas, that usually a nonprofit organization or a church group or a private organization sets those up. If there is a private institution attempting to become a school from the ground zero, it is well known that the churches and the private sector usually start with the pre-elementary age level and build from there so that they'll have a kindergarten, and then as time passes, they will open a first grade, second grade, and so forth. And that is pretty traditional. I think that's pretty accepted as far as the cost involved and so forth and the need. What this amendment does, in effect, is require that any group that wishes to start a private school must, under this amendment, open all first, second, and third grade, and including kindergarten, if that's where they want to start. And the cost is monumental. So what this is really going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to discourage, if not defeat, the private sector from the educational components that they wish to provide for their own children. That's the first reason, and the most important one, I think, that you have to look at. In comments that was made by the previous speaker about the regulations and over-regulations, and others have, prior to his comments, mentioned trying to avoid regulation and so forth. Well, by golly, if there's such a crying need out there to, or want, to avoid regulation, something's got to be wrong, I guess. You know, if there's so many people trying to escape over-regulation or regulation, maybe it is over-regulated. And maybe that's one of the reasons why there was such a demand for this piece of legislation in the first place. And that not to escape the requirements to keep children under the best care and the best provisions in the best facilities. But sometimes, Mr. Speaker, I think we can all admit that the bureaucracy gets a little carried away with regulation, and which I've previously been known to say they delight in generating regulations, and sometimes bodies such as these cannot keep up with that which is being generated. But I'd like to also say, in regards to fire safety, that during testimony on this bill and the previous bills, it was said several times by private and religious schools, pre-elementary schools especially, and I can probably take the time and go get the record, but it was testified to that the fire drills that these children go through in these private schools are pretty darn good. Two of them said, for I think it was 60 children, they could empty their building in 3 minutes flat or less. I thought that was a pretty good recommendation as far as their attention to the need for fire drills and fire safety and concern for the children. So if that is the reason that we need to look at amending that section of the bill, then I think that we ought to look at what the private sector, the parents, are demanding of themselves as far as protection of their own children. And why do we have to question that they don't have enough sense to do that, and that the bureaucracy has better sense to do that which they do not apparently have? I approach this body not to undermine and underestimate the loving care and attention that parents have for their children. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do speak against the amendment.
Question. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we have a brief at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease? Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Without objection, I'd like to have permission to move up the calendar, or back up the calendar, to introduction of guests.
Is there objection? Hearing none, we're under introduction of guests. Representative Ward.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I hope in Gallery B, we have two visitors from the Anchorage area, Louisa Rodona and Jeannie Cortez, who are down here with the Foster Parent Association, and they will be coming around to the individual's office. Jeannie was a constituent of mine and Representative Martin's up to the redistricting, and I think she's in Kenai now. But anyway, Gallery B are the two ladies. I'd like everybody to welcome them here.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the introduction of guests, in Gallery B, there is a prominent citizen of St. Mary's on the Andreevsky, Mr. Paul Dixon.
Is there further debate on amendment number two?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, Representative Duncan, you want to call the House?
No, I don't want to, but
a representative from Fairbanks to realize that there are several members missing.
Representative Gall? Call has been placed on the House. House, please stand at ease.
Is it satisfied?
Yeah.
Before the at ease, there was a call of the House on Senate Bill 354. Sergeant of Arms has notified me that the call has been satisfied. Representative Kopanen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wish to bring to the attention of the members who were absent that the amendment is the second, and the question deals with keeping preschool programs, even pre-elementary school programs from children aged 3 to 5, under the supervision of the Department of Health and Social Services, principally in regard to the number of staff available. Those facilities that are in buildings that do house elementary schools from grades 1 to, through 3 are released from such supervision, largely because they have additional staff. They have a principal, for example, assistant principal, and other people on hand. But the facilities we're talking about very often are private proprietary groups, which typically may have one teacher. We know that in Spinard, parents found that their children were in a program where there were 48 youngsters with one adult and one 16-year-old taking care of them, sued. Because this is actually a problem with our existing law. In other words, we're not trying to alter so much the private school bill, but to mend a hole in the existing statutes, because the existing statutes are being amended by the bill. It's being done at the same time. And as I said, having been on the board of a religious school that did do precisely as the previous speaker mentioned, in other words, started out with a pre-elementary program and then went to grades 1 through 3, we found no difficulty in maintaining the staff ratio that the regulations call for. Even under this amendment, these schools, of course, would be free from regulation as to the content of their educational program, and in fact, free from the requirement that the teachers be certified. So much of the fear arises not from actual facts of the current statutes, but from analogies drawn to other states, which are inaccurate in the Alaskan context. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the House Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
13 yeas, 26 nays.
The House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 3 by Mr. Kopanen. Page 2, lines 25 through 28, restore the bracketed material.
Representative, excuse me.
It has been duplicated and placed on each desk.
Representative Kopanen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Amendment Number 3 be adopted.
So what is objection, Representative Kopanen?
Thank you. I don't know why I thought there might be, but there are. Pre-elementary schools work with children from ages 3 to 5. We know from that children of that age can concentrate and can learn, but they do not have the ability to concentrate as long as older children and as adults. They don't have the ability, as we here in this body do, to stay long hours bent over the material before them. Typically, the actual learning that children of that age do in a structured setting takes place within 3 to 4 hours and not longer. Programs that continue longer than that have to include essentially daycare functions, meals, a nap time, beds, and the like, playground, play activities, and the rest that go along with daycare programs and not just educational programs where children sit at desks. And therefore, there may be an argument for allowing preschools, which are short, instructionally oriented programs, to operate without this supervision. However, where the children are in an environment, a structured environment, for more than three to four hours, you need more space, you need more health and safety oversight. If you're going to have a lunchroom and other facilities, it should come up to standard. Teachers and others who are associated with the program should have time tests to see they don't have tuberculosis and the like. This is another way of drawing the distinction between legitimate educational programs and programs that use that cover to essentially provide proprietary babysitting services. This is not, again, directed at either religious or true private school, but trying to repair a hole in the existing statutes because the bill itself deals with the existing statutes and amends them. Thank you.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In opposition to Amendment Number 3, I'll try to cover some ground more quickly than I did before. I know that people are getting weary, but I think that I must spend enough time to identify the problems with this amendment. I want to reiterate that I question whether or not a department of any size, shape, or form, or this body can be more concerned over children than the parents of those children. And I wish that you would keep that in mind in your deliberations on any measure before you, dealing with the educational components or the daycare assistance and so forth. But what this amendment, in my interpretation, does is restore control of health and social services over an educational component which the bill itself is attempting to deny, or does deny, excuse me, not attempting. What the bill does is to place the responsibility of educational components, as we understand it, as is described within this bill, under the jurisdiction of the Department of Education, not Health and Social Services. Now, there's quite a great distinction, and I suspect that you are intelligent enough to know the difference. Where there is daycare assistant, or if there is a daycare center, that's one thing. Where there's an educational institution run by private and religious organizations that choose to be exempt from regulations that they, by virtue of this bill, find unacceptable, then I believe that our constituents and the people who have said to us that this is what they'd like to have because they have the capability, the knowledge, the expertise, and the money to take care of their own children and teach them what they want to teach, they should not be required to come under regulations that they deem unnecessary. Along with the 4 or fewer hours has the same devastating effect that the previous amendment would have had as far as the number of grades that must be offered in order to at least put the school together. So sometimes, well, I'll just stop right there and I speak against the amendment again. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gall.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you over the din.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, sir. I quite agree with the sponsor that people who want to educate their own children should be able to do so and take full responsibility for that. This bill does not, however, speak to that issue. It speaks to private pre-elementary schools. The only thing that is being accomplished by eliminating this and the previous amendment is to say that a private pre-elementary school should not be supervised. I think private pre-elementary schools should be supervised and would speak in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the amendment, and there are several points that have been raised by the chairperson of the House Committee. I think there's no question that parents have great concern over their children and their children's education. I don't think that's the issue before us. I think what the issue is before us is what kinds of controls and insurances those parents have over the education of their pre-elementary children. We're subjecting these children to something that we really don't know anything about, and they're highly susceptible at this age. And we're simply saying that the state should have no interest in them if, in fact, the state isn't giving any money to these schools, or I think what we've identified clearly, the daycare assistance that is being provided. I think, Mr. Speaker, that daycare assistance, whether it's directly to the parents to help them pay for pre-elementary school care, or whether it's in the form of religious or private schools, should be looked at much closer, much in much greater detail than is being presented now on this floor and what I perceive to be during the committee hearing process. It seems to me, Mr. Speaker, that the amendment is aimed directly at ensuring that there won't be further problems with pre-elementary children or schools. And that's the major concern that I have. I don't want any fly-by-night operation calling itself a private school. I have a different feeling about a private religious school, however. I mean, we can certainly identify specific religious schools or religious beliefs that find objections to how the state controls or manages children or educates children. There are different arguments for that kind of an operation. But for a private school, Mr. Speaker, I think this body is very concerned about the quality of education at whatever level, including pre-elementary school. And I think that this bill, as it presently is written, takes that away from us, takes that away from the children who are being taken care of under the guise of this particular piece of legislation. The reinstatement of the language that existed, I think, does that to the extent that is necessary. It is necessary to establish some kinds of guidelines of standardization. We require that standardization in elementary schools, in high schools, in colleges by the requirement of what's written in this piece of legislation, if I remember it, English grammar, math, and what have you. Those are standardizations that are difficult to identify and place at the pre-elementary level. And I think this bill leaves too much open to the discretion of the provider. And if we leave too much discretion open to the provider without saying to that private school provider, here are some general regulations that you should live with because they're in the public's interest, I think that's all we're asking. And I think the language that presently exists in the statutes does that. I think the amendment does that, and I think the bill as it's presently written takes that away. And I don't think we should put in jeopardy the children who go to school at such a facility just because it happens to be the cheapest one around.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The private and religious schools are not the cheapest ones around. They're usually the more expensive ones because if you go to a public school, it's free. And I also would like to point out to the body here that there is no compulsory education law for preschool children in this state at this time. So with that statement and in conjunction with that, much of the previous speaker's arguments do not apply. For the purpose of explaining one more time that, and let me just give you an example of what was testified in our committees, our committee hearings on a number of occasions. When the people's interests were mentioned and the public interest was mentioned, someone got up to the microphone and said, I'd like to say this about that, that although you might be wanting to be concerned about the public interest, how in the heck about the parents' interests? Let's talk about the parents' interests, because that's really something you can identify with. You can't identify, they said, with the public interest as much as you can with a parent's interest. And we had a parade of I would say close to 200 people during the course, the discourse of hearings process on this particular piece of legislation. There were over 200 hours of listening to those parents. There were a number of written pieces of testimony. They all came down with the same thing, that they wished to have the legislation that you see before you in the format that identifies with the parent's responsibility. And in this case, and with this amendment, Mr. Speaker, I think that they speak well for themselves. And I again speak against the amendment.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just would like to take the liberty of correcting the previous speaker. There was significant testimony, but it was certainly not unanimous. A number of people did not feel that the parents who were not themselves physically present at these schools would have any way of supervising what's going on, no matter how much they love their children. I think if it had been all one-sided, we wouldn't have quite so much debate. There's quite a diversity of opinion here. And as we're probably nearing the end of that debate, I'd like to also mention that what has been promoted and lobbied and developed great emotion under the colloquial title, the Religious School Bill, is now, as everyone can see, an act relating to the regulation of private schools. And I think there's a certain irony to what has happened here. What started out as an issue having to do with the Department of Education's interfering with the educational component of religious schools has now turned into a basically free ride for anybody who wants to claim that they have a pre-elementary school to simply go out and create a room where children are housed, to call it a school, and be free of supervision. And it just doesn't seem responsible to me. Thank you.
Representative Kovanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, the existing statute allows any pre-elementary school to escape regulation. And parents were concerned and did report in many of the hearings, and in fact wrote and mentioned that the parents in this one proprietary institution, non-religious, in Spinard, did find that they had only one supervising adult for 48 children between the ages of 3 to 5, and that the proprietor of that institution was able to do that because they called it a pre-elementary school and not a nursery school or a daycare center, although they did collect whatever fees the parents were able to get. They were not 100% at all, of course, supported. But the parents had relied on the thought that there were regulations in place, but they were thinking of daycare regulations and not the fact that preschool programs escape those regulations. So their defense 2 years ago was to start a lawsuit, which is currently, I believe, still going on. I don't know the results of that lawsuit. But in other words, what I'm trying to do by this amendment is to offer parents some assurance that at least in staffing capability and in the number of hours a day that the children will have to sit at a desk is regulated, that the children will have treatment that is takes cognizance of their age and stage of development. It doesn't really amend the bill so much as it amends the existing statutes, which have this hole where some people have been driving a fiscally profitable truck through to the detriment of the children who are find themselves in those programs, and leaving, which currently leaves the parents with nothing but a lawsuit as a means of defense.
Question. You ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the House Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
17 yeas, 22 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 4 by Mr. Clarkson. It starts page 7, line 19, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Clarkson.
Move the amendment.
There is objection.
Mr. Speaker, in debate on amendment number 1, one of the arguments against that amendment was that it created some lack of clarity in the legislation. I certainly didn't agree with that argument, but this amendment would eliminate that argument, make it absolutely clear what we're talking about. It inserts the words or indirect, and this regards the funding, not only in the place that where the amendment was proposed earlier on page 2, line 24, but also where that similar phrase appears on page 7, lines 19 and 21. That's in the definition of a private school and the definition of a religious school. Mr. Speaker, the same arguments that applied with that earlier amendment apply here. That is, that if you simply provide, you simply allow the exemption for those who received direct, I mean, you cover those preschools that receive merely direct state or federal funding, the effect will be that we deregulate, that we remove the regulation from all of those pre-elementary schools that receive indirect aid, and the example we've been using is daycare assistance. Mr. Speaker, I've had the chance since that amendment was adopted to obtain some information on the daycare assistance program. I was almost right on the money on my estimate of the amount of state dollars, public funds, that go to the daycare assistance program. It's $10,160,000. That's the request for FY85. That's up slightly from this existing year, but that's the magnitude of the public involvement in the daycare assistance program. So for those who believe that with the right to receive money comes the responsibility to spend it for quality care, they would support this amendment. It is hypocritical, in my opinion, to argue that we're going to exclude educational funding, as the argument was made by the member behind me, but daycare funding is somehow different from that. It's all public funds, and unless this amendment is adopted, it's going to go to preschool facilities that are not receiving any regulation by the state with regard to the quality of the care they receive. So I encourage you to adopt this amendment.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I speak in opposition to the amendment. I believe that the argument was presented last year on another bill before us that was similar. But let me just clarify something here dealing with the objectives of the daycare assistance program versus pre-elementary school education. There is a substantial difference in the intent of the program itself when it comes to daycare assistance. Daycare assistance program came into existence to allow single parents, if you will, usually single parents, but not exclusively, to go seek a job that they got low pay on, but they couldn't afford to pay for a babysitter or daycare assistance while they were on the job, so that they could become wage earners and taxpayers, and to encourage them to better their life and seek higher employment. This was a subsidy. The program was designed as a subsidy to a work program, if you will, or an educational program that would lead to work. It has nothing to do with the pre-elementary schools, which are required by this piece of legislation to administer standardized testing, to keep records of attendance, to hold 180 days of classes, and to make reports and so forth to the Department of Education, none of which are required under the existing laws and regulations dealing with daycare and daycare centers. So let's not become confused with the issue. They are entirely separate, and to try to melt them into one pot, I think, does a disservice not only to the intent of the legislation that came into existence to create an environment for a work ethic, but also for the private and religious school systems that wish to remain unregulated. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davis.
Thank you. Maybe we've been talking on this for so long that something's being left out or something, but to me the point is that these preschools are going to be receiving money, and it's going to be under the category of daycare assistance. And that's the point that some people have been trying to make, and it doesn't seem to sift down or something, but that's the point, is that these preschools will qualify for this daycare assistance money, and it's public money going to these preschools. I think that's pretty clear. It is to me.
Representative Vasca?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in favor of the amendment. I think, if I understand the chairperson of the HES committee, she's in favor of indirect funding of private and religious schools, but not direct funding. And that's basically what that boils down to.
Representative Furnish?
Mr. Speaker, I wish that the speaker behind me would not interpret my comments. I will interpret them myself, thank you. And I do not object to that.
Representative Furnish?
No, I'm sorry.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4 to the House Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
18 yeas, 21 nays.
The House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 4. Does the clerk have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson? Will the House please stand at ease?
By Mr. Clarkson. Page 3, line 24. Add a new subsection to read. C. A pre-elementary school exempt from supervision under this section is not eligible for benefits under AS 44, 47, 250 through 310.
Representative Clarkson.
Move the amendment.
Representative Clarkson, the other floor.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment is an effort to narrow the issue here as much as possible. The prior amendments, of course, by the representative from Fairbanks and myself, have attempted to incorporate both direct and indirect costs of funding from the government into the question. Some opposition was raised to that on the grounds that we don't really know what indirect funding is, that maybe there might be the use of perhaps of a school bus to take children to an unregulated preschool facility, and that people didn't necessarily want to prohibit that sort of thing, and certainly I don't either. So the point of this amendment is specifically, Mr. Speaker, to stop these preschools from receiving daycare aid. Either the daycare grant program, which is state funds directly to the daycare or preschool, in this case, directly to the preschool center, or through the daycare assistance, a payment to the parent then directly to the center from the parent. So the citation, AS 4447, section 250 to 310, are those two programs relating to daycare. I encourage the adoption of the amendment. It doesn't have any of the confusion people have talked about what does indirect funding mean.
Representative Tischer?
Mr. Speaker, I don't have a copy of that amendment before me. Either could the clerk repeat it or give us a copy?
I'll ask the clerk to reread the amendment.
Amendment number 5 by Mr. Clarkson. Page 3, line 24. Add a new subsection to read. C. A pre-elementary school exempt from supervision under this section is not eligible for benefits under AS 44, 47, 250 through 310.
Question. Representative Tischer, do you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think my memory is getting dim, but I'll try to remember what she said. There are several private schools in some members' districts that would be devastated by that kind of inclusion in this bill. There, for example, St. Mary's is a private school. And I could name some more. I don't know whether or not the maker of this amendment understands that by trying in an attempt to satisfy a need that he perceives as a need, that at the same time he would be damaging a very well-known, legitimate, highly respected school in somebody's district. At least that's one I can think of right off the top of my head. And for that reason alone, Mr. Speaker, I object to and speak against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in favor of the amendment. I was fully prepared here today to vote for this bill. I've had many letters and calls of support, and never once has anyone indicated to me that we truly intended to channel daycare money to this, to these schools and then not have them regulated.
Representative Tischer.
Mr. Speaker, I believe that the Department of Health and Social Services would have the jurisdiction not to funnel, because they regulate the daycare program, they regulate and pay for daycare assistance. It would seem to me as though I would give them just a little bit more intelligence to determine whether or not they're daycare or if they're pre-elementary schools. And for that reason, Mr. Speaker, certainly they would not funnel intentionally funds into a pre-elementary school versus a daycare center. I think that everybody's getting a little confused on the difference between the two and how the money is distributed. There are regulations specifically designed to that, and there is laws on the books, incidentally. And I remind you again, this body and Mr. Speaker, that there is no law on the books. And I ask the question, how can a state agency generate regulations without the authority of statute that is now non-existent? With this amendment, perhaps, just perhaps, and I haven't had time to study it because it just came before me and I don't even have a copy of it, perhaps it will open the door for the department, if you will, the social services department, to interpret that amendment to mean that they can regulate pre-elementary schools, which is something that this bill speaks out against doing. So I would not want to have a double standard within this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
The prior speaker is incorrect with regard to her understanding of the daycare assistance program. The licensing, which this bill would exclude, is done by one agency. The providing of daycare funds is done by another agency. So I suggest we understand the departments and how they relate to each other before we decide to vote against this amendment. The effect would be, I believe, precisely as I've identified.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the previous speaker has stated the facts correctly, and I believe the chairman of the Hess Committee has stated a number of irrelevant and incorrect facts, with all due respect. This is a very simple amendment. It says if you're getting the money, then you have to deliver the service. You have to deliver the service, not you get to if you want to. If you don't want to deliver the service, then you don't take the money. Now, what could be more simple than that? You either put up or shut up. You know, you either pay your money and take your choice, or you take your choice without paying your money. I mean, this has gone on for hours and hours. I think maybe there's a certain amount of lightness in the air. No. I don't generally enjoy myself at the expense of this body, but I think what we have here is a very, very simple amendment. It says that if you wish to be unregulated, you are not eligible for state funds. I really don't see what the problem is there. The intent of this bill is to free certain institutions from unnecessary regulation, but it's been stated over and over again by the sponsors that the intent of this bill was not to create a situation where we fund schools and then have no oversight over what they do. Of course, I speak in favor of the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 5 to the House Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
18 yeas, 21 nays.
The House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 5. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354 rules be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 354 rules by the Rules Committee, an act relating to the regulation of private schools.
So debate. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I have one question that I want to wait till third reading because I didn't intend to offer an amendment to correct it if I am correct. On page 3 of the bill, if you'll turn there, starting on line 3, the changes in subsection 10. All evening, Mr. Speaker, we've been talking about preschools and young children, 3 to 5 and so on. Am I correct, and this can be directed to the chair of the HES committee, am I correct that the changes in this subsection basically change, let me rephrase it, basically that the compulsory education law of the state is amended so that private schools are not regulated, but that children can satisfy the compulsory attendance requirement by attending those schools?
Representative Tischer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You are correct to the degree that you just spoke, except that you also must consider that in order to be exempt from compulsory education as it is, as you just stated, that they then have to, they are required under the exemption section, section 1445-100, that those that choose to comply with the exemptions also must follow that which, I'll start over again. Those that wish to be exempt must follow the items under the exemption provisions of this bill, which are quite explicit.